This morning we want to continue our series of lessons discussing the importance of coming together to worship God. And I appreciate the invitation from the elders and the congregation here to be with you this weekend. We've looked at the subject of singing and praying together and the contribution. And at this time we want to look at the importance of taking the memorial of the Lord's Supper and what the New Testament teaches about that. We've just done that. And hopefully we have communed in a manner that has been well-pleasing to God. We've been singing about God before each lesson and the importance of how great God is and His love and His holiness and His power. And He's worthy of us coming together this morning to worship Him. We could be doing a lot of other things. We could be out doing a lot of other things. But nothing is great as coming together to worship the Almighty God of heaven. I appreciate the invitation, and it's good to be here with the brethren. This morning, we want to look at the subject of the Lord's Supper that we have just taken, and what does the New Testament teach about that? And it's important to go back and look at what the Scriptures say. God gives us memorials. God has always given His children memorials. In the Old Testament, there was a memorial to remember the Israelites coming out of Egypt, the Passover. We need memorials. We have Memorial Day. We need memorials to help us remember the great things that others have done for us. And we have Memorial Day. We remember what our veterans have done for our freedom and things like that. And God knows that we need memorials. And there was the Passover. When they crossed the Jordan River, they set up stones as a memorial. And the children would ask in future generations, what are these stones? What meaneth these stones? To help remember the crossing of the Jordan and God's deliverance there. And we need memorials. And in the New Testament, we have a memorial of that of the Lord's Supper. When we look at the subject of the Lord's Supper, we begin by noticing that Jesus instituted this supper during the Passover, during another memorial. They were engaging in one memorial, the Passover, and then He instituted another memorial, the Lord's Supper. And they used unleavened bread because that's what was authorized by the old law in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and the fruit of the vine. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And we will begin this morning looking at the subject of the Lord's Supper. In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus and His disciples are engaging in one memorial, He institutes a second memorial. We want to read Matthew chapter 26, beginning reading in verse 26. And as they were eating, that is, eating the Passover, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it, and He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And He took a cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. But I say unto you, I shall not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." We want to talk this morning about the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. The Lord's Supper was taken by Christians. It was not what has been called in the denominational world open communion, where anybody comes in and takes it. Anybody in the public, we certainly wouldn't refuse it to someone who reaches out, but we will give it to those who are Christians, those who are members of the church. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we find the beginning of the day of Pentecost and the beginning of the church. And we find that members of the church only are taking the Lord's Supper. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. We're going to look at that this evening. Fellowship, the contribution, we already looked at that this morning. The breaking of bread, that's what we're going to look at right now. And the prayers, we studied that last night. And so communion was taken by Christians. It was not what has been called open communion. It's just offered to anyone and everyone, but local members of the church. And we find that the Lord's Supper was a congregational activity. It's when they came together and met with the brethren. It was not served individually at home. Somebody says, "Well, I'll just skip the church service and I'll take some of that grape juice with me and some crackers and we'll go out to the lake and we'll have a good time out there." It was not done individually. It was not just done at home. It was not done, in some sort of a separate arrangement. Brethren came together to meet together. We need to come together to take that together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll notice with me a very familiar passage with regard to the Lord's Supper, we find that at the beginning of that chapter, we find that the brethren have already met together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, I praise you not that you come together, that you come together, verse 17. And then we read those verses commonly associated with the Lord's Supper, starting in verse 22. And so it's when you come together. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, they had come together in an upper room to meet. And so we need to remember that and be together with our brethren to partake of the Lord's Supper. When was it given? It was not just given on any day of the week. Some, including some churches of Christ, are beginning to serve the Lord's Supper on other days of the week. The Richland Hills Church of Christ, a few years back, started serving the Lord's Supper on Saturday. And we find that it is to be served on the first day of the week, on Sunday. That's the authorized manner. And so we serve it on Sunday if we want to follow the Bible authority. It is the Lord's Supper. It's an act of obedience. Let's look at some verbs that are found in Luke chapter 22. And we're going to find the importance of taking the Lord's Supper. As you're turning over to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start reading in verse 19, I want us to think about the importance of the Lord's Supper, but I also want us to think about how that all of the acts of worship are important. Do you know that some people will show up only for the Lord's Supper? There may be some here this morning that have already planned not to come back tonight. I'm not sure. I hope that that would not be the case. But you've already got it in your mind that you're not going to come back tonight. What would it take for you to come back tonight? I have a sermon entitled that. What would it take for you to come back on Sunday night? Would it take more love from God? No, He's loved us with His greatest love. Would it take more love for brethren? What would it take to get you to come back on Sunday night? But some people will come Sunday morning only because they believe that the Lord's Supper is the most important part of worship, the most important act of worship. I'm not sure when and where and how brethren got that idea, but sometime in the past, somebody got the idea in their mind that the Lord's Supper is more important than any other act of worship. I don't have to worry about the singing or the preaching. Do you know that I was preaching in South Carolina one time, and just about every Sunday, right after the Lord's Supper, people would leave. And they were going to go to the lake and go on vacation or just go back home or go do something. They thought that the Lord's Supper was the most important act of worship. And so we would serve the Lord's Supper, and right after it, they would leave. I was standing up to start preaching, and they would leave, and there was windows down the side of the church building. You'd see several cars just leaving. They didn't come for Bible class, and they didn't stay for the sermon. They got it in their mind that the Lord's Supper is the most important act of worship, and there's nowhere in the Scripture that teaches that. It's important, and we're going to see that it is, but it's no important than singing or preaching or giving or praying. And so it is important, but it's not the most important act of worship, and we need to remember that. Are you planning on coming back this evening? Will you come back on Wednesday evening? Some already have it in their mind that they're not going to come back, and I think they've gotten the idea that I just have to come for the Lord's Supper. We appreciate everyone being here this morning, and we appreciate the importance of coming together for the Lord's Supper, but it's not the most important act. All of the things that God wants for us are important. But look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Look at these verbs. This do, take, eat, drink, this do. These are verbs. We are to obey these things. There are some people that think, well, it's not a big deal if I miss the Lord's Supper. Well, we are forsaking the importance of obeying God. The Lord's Supper. When Jesus was in the upper room back there in Matthew chapter 26 and here in Luke 22, they were partaking of the Passover. It was right before he went to the cross. That was a Jewish memorial. And during that Passover, he decided to also institute what was called the Lord's Supper. But there are three new things about this. There are three new things about this. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, where the Lord's Supper is instituted there. we find that Jesus, during the Passover, took a cup and the unleavened bread and instituted the Lord's Supper. And notice what he says in verse 28. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. We're no longer under the old covenant. There are three things that are new with regard to the Lord's Supper. First of all, there's a new covenant. It's the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. It's the new law of Christ. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. Look at this, remission of sins. The Passover memorialized a physical departure from bondage of Egypt. The Lord's Supper memorializes a spiritual departure from the bondage of sin. And then the third thing that is new about it is that it's upon the first day of the week. The Passover was observed right before the Sabbath day on Friday evening. But we observe the Lord's Supper on Sunday. And so there are three new things that make it distinct and different from the Old Testament Passover. The Lord's Supper was not a common meal. I'm hearing more and more today, there are more and more among members of Churches of Christ that are leaving groups like here in Skyline, and they're going off and they're joining what's called a community church. And the community churches, they'll meet in a school gymnasium or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with meeting in a place like that. But they will often meet in a place and they will have a common meal right around the time of the Lord's Supper. There's one in Bowling Green that is doing this and different places around. And really, a lot of people are getting excited about that and they're going to join those things. We need to understand that the Lord's Supper is not a part of a common meal. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at some passages here. It's not a part of a common meal. That's why we didn't have any potluck along with the Lord's Supper. But the house churches, the community churches, what they're doing is they're setting out a long table. And they'll have a potluck out there with all kinds of drinks and all kinds of food and all that type of thing. And then on the table, they will also have the Lord's Supper. And so they'll take the Lord's Supper, and then it's also a part of a regular meal. In Acts chapter 2, turn with me there. Notice how in each of these three passages, the Lord's Supper is separated from any kind of a common meal. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They were breaking bread. They were breaking bread. That's the Lord's Supper. But turn over to verse 46. At home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart. There's something that you do when you come together. You take the Lord's Supper. But then there's something you do at home. That is, you have a common meal. Notice that they were separated. They weren't together. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. When Paul was preaching in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, we gathered together to break bread. Look at that, verse 7. The disciples were in an upper room. Paul was preaching, and they served the Lord's Supper. It was on the first day of the week. But come on down to verse 11. When the service had broken up, and when he was gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he talked with a long while. That was a common meal that was done after the service. It wasn't a part of the Lord's Supper. Notice verse 7 is separated from verse 11. Acts 2:42 is separated from verse 46. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 11. There's a time and place for a common meal. There's a time and place to enjoy a social meal, but it's not a part of the Lord's Supper. In our religious friends in the community churches and the house churches are erring in this matter. And people, and sometimes younger people, nobody's checking the Bible. Nobody's reading the verses like we're doing this morning. Nobody cares to ask for Bible authority. We just go in and sit down. It's a religious group. It's fine. And then we just all go home. And we're getting more and more things that are done without Bible authority. And the next generation that is coming along, nobody's got their Bible open. We're not going to check the Bible. We're not going to ask for Bible authority. We just go. It's just kind of a place to go. And we're getting more and more and farther away from God and His Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice in verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Notice in verse 23 and 24 that He institutes the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. But come on down to verse 34. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home. Notice verse 24 is separated from verse 34. Verse 24 is the Lord's Supper. Verse 34 is what you do at home. If you're hungry, eat at home. You see, it's not the same. It's not to be done together. It's not the same kind of a meal. And so we need to remember that and encourage our friends and religious friends especially to see this kind of thing. The Lord's Supper. Let's look now at what it really is. Well, isn't it just some grape juice being passed and then some unleavened bread being passed and we go through those things? What is the Lord's Supper? Let's look at a few things. First of all, God gives us a memorial so that we can appreciate Him. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." It's a remembrance. It's a memorial. It's where we can appreciate what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we need to have that in our mind as those things are being passed around. We need to encourage our children to be still and to think about the Lord's Supper, even though they're not taking it. When they get older, they'll be taking it as a Christian. But they need to learn the seriousness of it. And we appreciate that blood that was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. Just like we appreciate our veterans who shed their blood and die for our freedom. We get to get up each morning in a free land in part because of what our veterans have done. We need to appreciate that. We need to appreciate what Jesus has done on the cross. But the memorial of the Lord's Supper is also a dedication. It's a dedication. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22 and verse 20. Jesus was dedicated to saving us on the cross, and we need to be dedicated to be here to worship Him. Some people you have to, it's almost like pulling teeth. You gotta pull them like a stubborn mule, and you gotta beg them and bribe them and, try to coerce them to come. They don't appreciate what Christ has done for them. We should be running here to worship God. We should be enjoying being here. But sometimes there'll be those who you just almost have to poke and prod and pull to get them here. We need to love to come to worship God. Look at Luke 22 and verse 20. "And the cup in like manner after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you.'" Jesus poured out his blood for us. You stop and think about that and how important that is. And how meaningful that is. And we can sit here with forgiveness of sins this morning because of what he did some 2,000 years ago. And that, the dedication that he had for us. And the dedication that we need to show in return in being here to worship him. We should be here every time the doors are open. Because it's his blood that's going to grant us that access into heaven. And without that, we would be lost. The Lord's Supper is a commemoration. It's a commemoration. Look, we're right here in Luke chapter 22. Back up with me, if you will, to verse 19. "And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you.'" Look at that. When was the last time someone gave their body for you? You think about that. That's no small thing. He gave his body for us. And then, "This do in remembrance of me." No, I need to be out on the lake, and I need to be at the store, and I need to be playing golf, and I've got more important things to be doing, you see. No, we need to be here remembering what Jesus did for us. He asked us to do that each first day of the week. One of the problems with our society is we're so crowding out our lives. We've got TV. That's really important. You've got TV, and you've got hobbies and work and other kinds of things. You can't expect me to be down there on Sunday and taking the Lord's Supper and that kind of thing. And, I just don't have time for that. Think about what Jesus did for us. And God just simply wants us to commemorate that each first day of the week. It's what God's people remember about God's great gift. The Lord's Supper is also a participation. We are communing together. We're sharing together. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is not something that is done by proxy. I'll let some other family member do that. This is not something that is done by distance. It's something where we need to be here sharing in this very thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ?" seeing that we who are many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We're sharing together this blessing of a memorial. The Lord's Supper is also a revitalization. It's supposed to give us spiritual vitality each Sunday. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. Turn over one chapter there. When therefore you assemble yourselves together, is it not possible to eat the Lord's Supper? For in your eating, each one of you taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I praise you not. Come down with me to verse 30. Verse 30. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. Look at verse 30. Some of you are weak, some of you are sickly, and not a few sleep. He's not talking about physical weakness, physical sickness, and physical sleeping. He's talking about spiritual. There were some Corinthian brethren who were wrapped up in their lives. There was division earlier in the book. There's all kinds of problems at Corinth. And when they did come, some wanted to bring their own personal meal with them and turn it into a social thing. And they're spiritually weak and sick and asleep. They weren't coming for the proper reason. They needed to be woken up, as it were. They needed to be revitalized. And what that would take is a proper observance of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is also a proclamation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming what is going to happen in the future. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. We're telling others that Jesus has died on the cross. We're telling others of that great sacrifice for him, and we're letting others know the importance of that. We're not wrapped up in the things of this life and in the worldly things of this life and focusing when we come here on things outside this building. Is your mind on the service right now? Is your mind on the lesson? Is your mind on the scripture? Or do we have our minds on other kinds of things, you see? We're supposed to be telling others about the importance of God's word. And the more importantly than that, the death of Christ on the cross. So we proclaim his death till we come. Look at verse 26 with me. It's also in anticipation. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's what we do. We have a hope for the future. Look at what the text says. We proclaim the Lord's death till he come. We're waiting for him to come again. Let me ask you this. Are you ready for the Lord to return? A lot of times we have our lives wrapped up in the things of this life, and we're thinking about lunch later on today, and as soon as we can get out of this church building, where we're going, and we've got our mind on other kinds of things, we need to be thinking about the Lord coming again in our life, if it's not right with him, getting that right with him. We need to be serious as adults and as parents and take the worship service seriously. And take the Lord's return seriously and teach that to our children. You know, there's a time for fun and games, and there's a time for enjoying the things of this life. But when we're here, it's a time to worship God and think seriously about the Lord's return. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we're anticipating him coming again, and we're ready for that. It's also a time for personal examination. Look at verse 28 with me. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are to be introspective, that is, looking on the inside. Look at verse 28. Let each man prove or test himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We need to be concentrating on the death of Jesus and the body and the blood of Jesus. And we need to be thinking about our life in relationship with him. And have we obeyed the gospel, and are we living right? It's a personal examination. It's an inward examination. When we take the Lord's Supper, there are different ways in which we look. There are different thoughts that we need to have in our mind. First of all, we have a backward look. We're looking back to the cross and the great things that Jesus has done for us on the cross. We're looking forward to his coming again. Paul said that the Lord's Supper is till he come, you see. We're looking forward to that future coming, and is our life right with God? There's an inward look when we take the Lord's Supper. We are to examine ourselves. Notice in verse 31 with me, 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. If we discern ourselves. Back up to verse 27. Whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let each man prove or test himself, and so let him eat. We have to have an inward look. We have to be concentrating on the death of Christ and that great sacrifice. We have to think about our life in relationship to him. There's also an outward look. We proclaim his death till he come. There may be visitors, and we let them know that we believe in the death of Jesus. There may be friends with us. We proclaim the Lord's death till he come. We let others know about that. It's like an object lesson to them. And then we have an upward look. We want to obey God. We want to be here on the first day of the week. We want to obey God. And we're thankful for what his Son has done. Before we close this morning in reminding ourselves of what the Lord's Supper is, I want to look at a few things. We need to come to the table with a dedicated life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's interesting that some of the Corinthian brethren were coming to the assembly to take the Lord's Supper, but they were bringing their worldliness with them. Their lives weren't changed. They came in the church building just like they were out in the world, and they came in and they went through some motions. And Paul rebukes them here, and he says, you need to have a clean life. You need to have a dedicated life when you come in here. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. What was happening was, during their life throughout the week, they were going to the prostitutes. That's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6:18. They were going to the idols' temples. They were engaging in all kinds of immorality. And then they would come in on Sunday and take the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, it's like you're joining the two together. And you can't do that. We need to come in here with a dedicated life. We need to come in with a life wanting to serve God, not just because somebody else wants us to be here, maybe a parent or a family member. We want to be here. We want to serve God. We want to be dedicated to God. And we need to have a clean life when we come to do that. And if it's not, let's use the opportunity to make our life clean. We might need to obey the gospel, or we might need to come back in some way and repent of some sin. But we don't just keep coming in with the same old sinful things in our life and then, well, I'll just take the Lord's Supper. It doesn't work, Paul says. And we can't join those two together. And so look at verse 22. Or do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? It's as if we come in and take the Lord's Supper. He knows we have the sinful life, and it's provoking to him. We need to come in with a dedicated and faithful life. We need to focus on the spiritual. One of the problems with the Corinthian brethren was they came in, and when it came time to take the Lord's Supper, they turned it into a regular meal. They were not focusing on the spiritual. And so Paul said, leave that at home. If somebody's hungry, let him eat at home. You come here to focus on the spiritual. It's interesting that sometimes even during the worship service, I see a lot. I see a lot while I'm up here, and having done this for a long time, I see a lot. You'll see where folks will come into a worship service and they can't focus on the spiritual. They're still doing the physical. They're still doing the things that are out there in this life. They're on their phone, or they're doing this. There have been those who have done Facebook during the service, and they're texting and they're checking their messages and looking at pictures of the family and that kind of thing. And they can't focus on the spiritual, and that's sad. That's sad. And they're just not making time for God in their life. And so Paul said, when you come here, the Lord's Supper is one of other things. We sing, we pray, we take the Lord's Supper, but we're here to have a moment to focus on the spiritual. And that will improve our worship service. You know, when we use Scripture and when we appeal to Scripture, that helps us to take the Lord's Supper. The men that come up and serve can make some comments. They can read some Scripture. Notice in 1 Corinthians 11, did you notice in 1 Corinthians 11, this is a passage that we read a lot, but did you notice in verse 22 and 23 that Paul referred to what the Lord had done. I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body. What is Paul doing? He's quoting scripture. He's going back looking at that scripture where Jesus said that. And so appealing to scripture and a scripture reading right before the Lord's Supper can also help us to focus our mind on that. We can take seriously our discerning. To discern means to concentrate on, to discern the Lord's body and ourselves. Paul says that we need to discern the body and the blood. We need to take a moment to focus our minds while that fruit of the vine and that unleavened bread is being passed around. Some people, they have trouble doing that. They won't do that. It's just all about their mind on other things. And maybe some adults even have trouble with that. We've got to focus our minds and take seriously the Lord's Supper. There's a time and place for all those other activities. We're here to worship God. And of course, parents can teach our children at an early age why we're taking the Lord's Supper, what's the purpose of it, talk with them about that, and hopefully one day they'll grow up and become Christians and they can take of that memorial as well. But it starts at an early age, and it also starts by us as parents setting the right example for them. And if we're not serious about it, if we're not serious about worship, then they certainly won't. They'll be following our example later in life. And they may not even be here at all. What a great memorial we have to remember the Lord's body and the Lord's blood. This do in remembrance of me. There may be someone here this morning that is not a child of God and needs to remember what Jesus did for them on the cross. You need to come repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of sins. There may be someone who needs to come back in some way so that you can take of that Lord's Supper in a meaningful way. We would encourage you. We're going to stand and sing this song of invitation. We're going to offer an invitation for you to come and make your life right. The water is ready. Things are ready for you to change your life. Next Sunday, when you take the Lord's Supper, let's think of these good things that we discussed this morning. Let's implement them so that we can be pleasing in God's sight. Remember the Corinthians. They came in. They were just going through the motions. We don't want to do that. We want to come in and have a meaningful Lord's Supper. And I hope that this lesson has helped us along those lines. There may be someone here that needs to respond. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?